Let me turn you back, please, to Ruth chapter 3, a little study that we've been engaged in this last number of months. Luke chapter 3, please, Ruth chapter 3, and we'll read again from the first verse, just some of these opening verses. I did consider really verse 1 last week. Ruth chapter 3. I'm beginning at the first verse again. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred with whose maidens I was? Behold, he winneth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." And she said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me I will do." And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bid her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. Amen. Just ending again in the words of verse 7. And we know the Lord will add his own divine blessing upon the reading of his precious and his infallible word. I invite you back to Ruth chapter 3. We've entitled our message this morning, "Preparing to Meet Boaz." And let's just unite our hearts together, please, in a word of prayer, just before we come to the preaching of God's precious word. Father in heaven, we thank Thee again for Thy presence. We thank the Lord for the tithes and offerings that have been gathered in. We bless Thee, O God, even for those who contributed toward the sponsored walk last week for that water tank in Uganda. Lord, for Thine hand upon the children on Friday past. Lord, we praise Thee for our school. We thank the Lord for those pupils Thou hast given to us, for the finances that have been brought in, not only this year, but every other year. Remember the children, Lord, and remember the children in other schools. Lord, Thine hand will be upon them each one. We pray that Thou would bless us as we turn to Thy truth. O God, we thank Thee for the reading of Thy word. But Lord, we pray that Thou would help us in the preaching of it. Help preacher and hearer alike. O God, prepare these hearts of ours. Unstop the deafened ears. We pray that Thou might speak that word in season. That word that is needed. Each and every soul. May we, Lord, today have a meeting with our heavenly Boaz. Spirit of the living God, come and fall afresh upon us. O God, we pray for the blessed Paraclete to draw very near. Lord, that Thou would minister to us. Thank the Lord for the Spirit of God being the divine author of the Scriptures and the one who will guide us into all truth. We pray that Thy Spirit would speak even that word of counsel and challenge to us this morning. To that end, I pray Thou would fill us with Thy Spirit, anoint us with fresh oil, that I might preach us thus. And thus saith the Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Ruth was beginning to learn that there was more for her than just living off the leftovers of others. Naomi, in hearing of whose field she was leaning in, she was to instruct her that Boaz happened to be a near kinsman to her by virtue of her late husband. And while she had already benefited from his gifts and his provision, she could have the giver himself. If by law he entered into a marriage union with her. But she would never know the fullness of those blessings to be experienced and to be enjoyed if she was not married to him. And you know, men and women, the same truth is applied to the hearts of God's own people. It is only by virtue of being in that saving union with Christ by faith that the blessings of the Savior have been bestowed upon us. But while many have already proven God's provision in Christ, yet it has to be said that so many believers only look upon the Savior as one who can help them out of their problems or out of a time of trouble, when in fact he has purchased manifold blessings through the work of his cross. There is so much more blessings in store for us if we would seek to live that victorious Christian life. And you see, that's what Naomi desired for Ruth at this time. She desired that this young widow would become the bride of Boaz, for that would mean security and that would mean untold blessings for her. And dear people, we can know the benefits of Calvary as those who are joined unto the Savior in that union that cannot be broken. And don't forget that it's all depicted in this little book of Ruth. For Ruth and Naomi came back to Bethlehem when? They came back at the time of the barley harvest. And the barley harvest, it was the time of the Passover, or can I put it to you like this? It was the time when Christ was to be crucified on the cross. And then following the barley harvest, some days later, about 40 or so, there was the time of the wheat harvest. And the wheat harvest a month later after Passover was the time of the first fruit, the Feast of the First Fruits, or can I put it to you in New Testament terminology? It was the time of Pentecost. And so the very timings of these things draw us to the cross and they draw us to the blessings that followed Calvary. Christ has purchased his bride with his own precious blood, and it's all of God's redeemed that make up his bride, the body of his church. And in a very practical manner, that means being joined to Christ in every aspect of our life. It doesn't mean living as if we're divorced to him most of the week and then living as a true bride when it comes around to the Sabbath day again. That doesn't work in the practical sense. That doesn't work in a marital setting, and it doesn't certainly work in the spiritual context either. You can't say, Lord, I don't want you as part of how I run my business or to the places that I go to, and yet still seek the fullness of his blessing. He must be Lord over all of her life. And Ruth was beginning to understand the significance of this man, Boaz, and potentially the blessings that were in store for her. But the problem was, how does a woman like her make such a proposal? It wasn't as if she could go very well into the midst of that field and fall down on her knees before Boaz and ask that he marry her. And so we find Naomi preparing her to meet with Boaz. We're really looking at the words of verse 2 through to 5 this morning. I want you to see, first of all, here the place. Naomi had the right desire, and she had the right purpose for Ruth. But when the instruction was given, Ruth, at the end of the day, she had to come to the right place, and she had to come to the right person to find this rest. We brought it out to you last Sabbath morning in chapter 3, verse 1, that's what it means. Here, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee? It's a term that means marriage. And she was seeking for Ruth, that she might find rest with her husband, that she might find that satisfied contentment with one. And Ruth had to go to the right place for it. And Jehudah had to go to the right person for it. Naomi had already intimated where Boaz would be found that evening at the end of verse 2. You'll read it. And it says, behold, he went with barley tonight in the threshing floor. It would be senseless. It would be futile for her to go to the wrong place or seek the wrong person who could not give her these greater blessings, who could not give her this contentment and this rest. And dear people, therein lies a simple biblical truth. For God's people to this day, there's application here. And it's this, it is pointless going to a place where the Lord is not to be found and there's no lasting blessing for your soul. And many in Christendom are guilty of frequenting places where the Savior is not believed, where His blood is not exalted, where the Scriptures are even denied. How can they expect to have any lasting blessing in such places? Blessings that will feed their souls. The Apostle Paul, who gave his counsel to the believers in Ephesus in Ephesians 5 and verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Ruth was directed to go to the threshing floor. Because you see, there Boaz would be found. And this is where the controversy comes in for some commentators. For you either look upon the action of Ruth as untoward and improper in terms of that here is something that in our Western culture that we would never encourage our daughters to do. Or else you look upon it in the Eastern setting as doing nothing wrong or out of place. It must be remembered that the threshing floor was an open place. It was often situated on a hill so as to get the greatest advantage of the wind. And it certainly would be a place where others would have been found that day or that night. Boaz, no doubt, would have had his laborers helping him. And that probably would imply to us that Naomi and Ruth would not have been on their own, or Boaz and Ruth, I should say, would not have been on their own in that threshing floor for much of the time of that evening. Indeed, if we consider in a greater measure the counsel of Naomi that we are given in the middle part of verse 3 and onward, it indicates various truths to us. The first thing you'll notice is the humility that would be involved in Ruth's part, humility. You see, in the words of verse 3, we read this, "And get thee down to the floor." Get thee down to the floor. She was to go down to the floor. In terms of where they were that evening and where the conversation was, geographically it was downward. And we are going to see as well that she was directed to his feet, where he lay down. And you know, men and women, the same is true spiritually. For if as God's people we want to enjoy the fullness of the blessings that God has for his people, then it will mean humility. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, seek my face and pray and so forth. But there's the first thing. My people shall humble themselves. Or indeed, if you consider the words of Micah chapter 6, verse 8, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly before thy God," or with thy God. Or even the instruction of James that he gives in his 4th chapter, verse 6, it says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Verse 10, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Ruth was going to be lifted up in due time. She was going to be lifted up into position. She was going to be lifted up with wealth. But first of all, there had to be humility on her part. She had to go down. She had to go to the feet of Boaz. And it is the people who are humble before the Lord that he will use and not and will bless. Not the spirit that is abroad of much today where it says that I can do anything and God needs me. God doesn't need any one of us. Men and women, it is a thought and a truth that we ought to look upon afresh this morning. It is with humility and reverence of heart that we ought to approach our God and worship. Psalm 89 in the words of verse 7 says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. And here's something that you might search your heart with. Have I an old proud heart? A proud heart that says there's nobody like me. A proud heart that says, I'm going to that church. I was here 50 years ago and it's still here. And look at the lovely building that we have and all the other things, the money in the bank. Listen, that's pride. That's pride. We need the humility. Now we're a poor and needy people. And for Ruth, the first thing she had to get into her heart and realize was there was humility needed on her part. The second thing you'll notice is Ruth would need to have patience. Naomi encouraged her to wait that opportune moment to make her approach unto him. Look at verse 4. Shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down. She would find him to be satisfied. He was satisfied for the harvest had now been gathered in. He would have done the work of winnowing. The old useless chaff had been blown away. He was left now with a pile of good grain. And this alone, of course, is the work of the Master. Others may sow and others may reap. But it is the Master who separates the chaff from the good corn. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 12, whose fan is in his hand and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. We have the parable also in the gospel of the husbandman, and when it comes to the day of threshing, when it comes to the harvest day, there shall be the gathering first of the tares to be burned and the gathering of the wheat into his barn. Here's the work of the Master. Only they who have been justified by faith in Christ, only they who have been resting upon Christ's finished work of redemption, shall have peace and rest on that great judgment day that is to come. And after finishing the work, he was to celebrate the end of the harvest. But Ruth wasn't to rush into the presence of Boaz. She had to wait until he was finished. And in coming to that threshing floor, she was to first of all mark the place where he lay down. She needed patience. And I believe there's an application for each one of us there when it comes to seeking the face of God. We ought not to rush into his presence. We ought not indeed to rush out of his presence either. And so often we're guilty of doing both. Let me read to you just one verse. Luke chapter 11 so happens to be the verse that before the Lord gives the pattern of prayer. It says in verse 1 of chapter 11 of Luke, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. I find that very interesting. The disciples come and they find the Lord praying. They didn't interrupt him. They didn't rush into his presence. It says when he ceased, one of them asked, Lord, teach us to pray. They waited until he had finished. And Boaz was to lie down at the end of the heap of his corn. He was protecting his own property from those who would come in and steal. And so men and women, the Lord watches over his people. His prized possession, and he has promised to his people, I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee. He cares for his people, and the shepherd of our souls will guard and he will protect us from all harm and all danger and from the wolves who would seek to attack his sheep. Let's not rush in or rush out of his presence. We need humility. We need patience to wait on the Lord. to wait on the Lord for that answer. And you'll notice the place where Ruth was to lie down, it was at his feet. It wasn't at his side. That would come later in marriage. But it was at his feet. And you'll know that the word feet is mentioned four times over in chapter 3. Verse 4, verse 7, verse 8, and verse 14. Every time she's found at his feet. Ruth was to go to the feet of her Boaz. For that was the place of total submission. That was the place where she was laying claim to his redemption. Chapter 2 finds Ruth at his feet because he was so kind to her. But in this instance, she doesn't want the kindness or the gifts of kindness. She wants the giver himself. Let me ask this morning, are you found at the feet of your master in humble submission? Are you found at the Savior's feet seeking to know more about him, seeking more blessing, seeking a closer relationship? You know, we could consider Mary in the New Testament, and every time we read of her, she's found at the feet of the master. She had that good part that couldn't be taken from her. Is that the place we're at this morning? But from the place, you'll notice also here the preparation. Ruth now was well aware of what the plan of action was, for she could now not just enter into the presence of Boaz in any fashion. It was made clear to her that there was preparation required. Look again at the words of verse 3. Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. And then these three things is what God's salvation imparts to all who receive Christ as their Redeemer. But you know, there's also application to us as we seek to meet with our heavenly Boaz. And the first thing you see there is the washing. There was to be the personal cleansing in her part. She would not go unto him in the way that she had been all that day long. There was to be that time taken to wash herself from the toils of the day, from the dirt and the filth of the field that she had been in. There was to be the suggestion of being clean and having a holiness about her. This was a special meeting. This was one to whom she was going to, a special person, and therefore the effort was to be made to be clean in his sight. The application is here for us. For when, child of God, we first experience God's redemption through faith in Christ, there was a washing, and there's a washing which takes place. We're washed, we're cleansed from all our filth and all our sin through the blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But for the people of God in our ongoing walk with the Lord, and especially when we seek an audience with our Savior and our Redeemer, I wonder, is there that preparation made? In our worship, we come to meet with a special person. You don't come with all due respect. You don't come to meet with a person beside you or in front of you. You don't certainly come to meet with a preacher. You come to meet with the Lord. He is the one who, because of his death on the cross, was to purchase our redemption. He is the one who is the blessed Son of God, the one in whom there is no spot nor stain. And therefore there ought to be the care, and there ought to be the consideration taken when we seek to meet with the Lord. And I do not speak merely on the outward. A need for to be clean and free from all smell. Well, that will be a great benefit to those that are sitting beside you in the house of God. Yes. But I'm not saying that by not speaking about that. But rather we're speaking in the spiritual context of the inward washing. You turn over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And the words of verse 1. Remember, here's Paul speaking to the believers in the church of Corinth. And he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And surely there's the need of removing anything from our life that causes the Holy Spirit to be grieved. He said, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. That's a work. That's an ongoing thing that needs to be done. There ought to be the desire to have every spot and stain washed neath the precious blood by faith. The yearning to have done with sin more and more, and that seeking of a holiness in our life which is pleasing in God's sight. Such teaching, of course, is typified in the Old Testament, typified in the tabernacle. For you know that one of the pieces of furniture in the tabernacle, you turn over to Exodus chapter 30, you'll see it was the laver. The laver whereby the people could wash before they made their approach onto the altar or burnt that sacrifice unto God. Exodus chapter 30, in the words of verse 18, let me read it to you. And it simply says this, thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal, and thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. Verse 20, when they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord, the high priest had to wash before he brought that sacrifice to the altar, before he entered into the holy place. He had to be found at the laver. He had to wash. You know what the laver was made out of? Exodus chapter 38, verse 8, and he made the laver of brass and the foot of it of brass of the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They were made out of the mirrors. So gentlemen, don't be giving off to the women when they're in front of a mirror, because you find mirrors in the Word of God. And the looking glasses are the mirrors of that were used by the women. They were used to make that laver. And as the high priest would come to the laver, he would look in and he would see himself. And doesn't that remind us of the New Testament as well? James. And James speaks of the Word of God as a mirror which man looketh into. And he taketh heed thereunto. And minimum it is the Word which is able to cleanse us. It's the Word which is able to prepare our hearts in order that we might meet with our heavenly Boaz. Psalm 24, and the verse 3 and 4 are familiar verses. Who shall ascend unto the hill of God? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. We've sang it as well this morning, Psalm 119. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according what? To thy word. There's where you'll find washing, young man. Washing from your sin. And to Ruth, there had to be the washing. But there, no, there was something else in that verse 3. There had to be the anointing. It was again a custom of those times to anoint oneself with oil. Sometimes precious, costly spices were mixed in with it. And the anointing oil would give forth that beautiful fragrance. But you know, the neglect of the oil, it was considered to be a sign of mourning. You see, I read in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 2, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So where there was no anointing, it was a sign of mourning. And Ruth was going to go into the presence of Boaz, her Redeemer kinsman. And she was going to go into his presence, having that fragrance upon her. And her days of mourning were days that were behind her. Naomi says, wash yourself, Ruth, and anoint yourself. Oil is a type, of course, of the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures. And that conversion, it is God's Spirit who dwells within us, bearing witness with our spirits that we indeed are the children of God. But as the people of God, we also need that continual fragrance of the Holy Spirit upon us. And as we were reminded even in the prayer meeting last week, we need that daily infilling of the Spirit of God to do the work of God, to come into the presence of our Lord. Oh, that the people of God would seek the Holy Spirit to come upon them and to prepare their hearts for the hearing of God's Word. For not only is He the divine author of the Scriptures, but Christ has promised that it is the Spirit who shall lead us into all truth. We need His daily infilling. There was a washing, there was the anointing. And you'll notice also, verse 3, there was to be the change of garments. She was to adorn the very best of garments. Put thy raiment upon thee and get thee down to the floor. Not the widow's clothes that she may have been wearing up until this time, for the old life was now behind her. Not even the working clothes that she may have been found in the field. And Naomi says to her, change your garments, Ruth. Again, we do not speak in the physical connotation when it comes to the application, although there's a lesson for us there. How do we come into the house of God? Well, years ago, it was heard and it was described as your Sunday best. It's nearly a thing of the past. And that's not good. There was that suit of clothes set apart for the Lord's day only. Dear people, now we're in a time. We're in a time, listen, where people go to the house of God and what I would have were to do the milking in or to clean out the bar. That's the truth. I've said it before, may God keep this church from going that way. And I'm not only speaking to the women, I'm speaking to the men. You're coming to the house of God. You're coming to worship the Lord, to meet with Him. But my application is not on the outward, primarily, spiritually. When the sinner comes to Christ for salvation, there's a great exchange that's made. The filthy rags of self-righteousness and our sin are taken off us and imputed or are laid to our account are the spotless garment of Christ's righteousness. We cannot approach Him in any merits of our own, but we make our approach with His righteousness. I want you to come with me to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. And you'll see there is to be a putting off of the old things, the old clothes. Look at the words of verse 8 and 9. But now ye also put off all these. Now remember, Paul's speaking to believers. This time it's at the church at Colossae. And he says, but now put ye also off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds. There's the old things of the old flesh. They're not to be found on us. But instead, we are to have the new clothes of God's grace on. Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgive you, so also do ye. We're not too good at that, sure we're not. God has forgiven us, but we find it hard to forgive others. There's a new clothes of grace. And you see, dear people, this was the preparation that Ruth was to make before she met with Boaz. I wonder how to be fair in the light of this preparing. You know, there are some who, being in their presence, you know they have a fragrance about them. And I want to say this, there's few. There's few. And maybe you can only maybe think of one or two or whatever has come across in your lifetime. And being in their presence, you knew there was a fragrance about them because they were close with God. Oh, that that could be said of this preacher. Oh, that it could be said of every one of God's people. There's a man or a woman, and they've got the fragrance of Christ on them. They're close with God. There was the preparation. I don't think we'll rush through the third point. We have our promise here. We'll have to come back to that. Can I say in closing, we're looking at how to prepare to meet with our heavenly Boaz and dear unsaved soul. You need to make preparation. For one day you'll stand before the Lord. That day is yet coming. You'll stand before your Creator and your God. And the Word of God says to us, prepare to meet thy God. Go as you are in your sin. You'll hear those words, depart from me. That's why we implore you, dear loved one, to have done with your sin. To have done with the old self-righteous garments that you have. To have done with the church attendance garment that you put on every Sunday. And come to the foot of the old rugged cross. Seek Christ as your Savior. Seek His cleansing and His precious blood to wash away the filth and stain of every sin. And be clothed in His righteousness. That you'll stand before Him justified. And on that day you'll have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous. And you'll hear those words, come in ye blessed of my Father. Into the kingdom prepared for you. I wonder, dear soul, will you make that preparation now? This morning. Today. While you hear His voice, harden not your heart. May you not do so. I pray the Lord will bless His word to each of our hearts this morning for His own name's sake. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, please, in closing. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. We thank Thee, Lord, for its instruction. We praise Thee, O God, for this passage that we've considered this morning and the counsel that Naomi gave to Ruth, the place that she was to go to, and Lord, the preparation that she was to make in the doing of it. Lord, we thank Thee, we see Christ in these Scriptures. We thank the Lord for this little book of redemption. It draws us to consider the cross. We thank the Lord for our Redeemer. And oh God, we praise Thee today that He has finished the work. And God is satisfied with that once for all offering. And Lord, as Thy people, we would desire to enter more and more into the manifold blessings that Christ has purchased for us at Calvary. That we might live that victorious Christian life. That there might be the fragrance of Christ upon us. And others would know that we've been with the Lord. Lord, I pray that Thou would speak on. I pray, O God, Thou would minister to those that are yet unsaved, unprepared, that today they might come to that place called Calvary by faith. They might accept Christ as Lord and as their Savior, repenting of their sin and been clothed in His righteousness. O God, do it for Jesus' sake. They might be prepared to meet their God. Hear this, our prayer, part us with Thy blessing. Abide with us the rest of this Sabbath. Bring us in Thy will back again to Thy house tonight. For we ask these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen.